If you're not familiar with Gaelic football, you may be aware that a new form of football was introduced to some extent by Tyrone some years ago, and it was referred to by Pat Spillane famously as puke football. But Tyrone went on to win All-Irelands on the back of it, because Tyrone were able actually to overcome the, I suppose, comparison with it being a puke type game by playing a very exciting attacking game after they did all the defending. So they would defend, but then they'd play players like Peter Canavan and Owen Mulligan, who were magical in attack, so it looked sparkling when they burst through. Now, Donegal took that template of defensive football and managed to win an All-Ireland on the back of it. One year in particular, without showing any great prowess when it came to attacking, they just defended and wore down and wore down and wore down the opposition. Sometimes, yes, there'd be an element of attack, but it was very little, and they would win games which were low scoring, and question marks began to be pointed in the direction of how Gaelic football was going. And in more recent times, clubs and counties have realised that really the only way to beat a totally defensive team is to be defensive yourself. Now, one of the most exciting teams, they, for those of you who aren't into Gaelic football, the Manchester United of Gaelic football would be Dublin. And they are primarily an attacking team. But over the weekend, they had to play Donegal. And they discovered the only way to beat Donegal was to actually be incredibly defensive. Hold on to the ball. Just pass the ball back and forward across the midfield. Back and forward, back and forward. Very little in terms of attack. The fans who are paying 30 or 40 euro in to see this are starting to boo. So the question I'm asking, is Gaelic football slowly killing itself? Let me speak to a man who knows far more about it than me, a sports reporter, sports commentator, Colm McAlinden. Colm, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Frank.
Colm, is there a possibility that if the Dubs are booing the Dubs, when we say the Dubs, the Jacks, the boys on the hill, if they're booing the players, that it's the beginning of the end? Because Dublin are an incredibly exciting team.
They are. I mean, you said that they were like the Manchester United of Gaelic football. I would almost go so far as to say they're the Barcelona of Gaelic football. You know, the football that they have played over the last few years has been just absolutely effervescent. It's been, you know, wonderfully attacking football, skillful kick passing, all the beautiful things about the beautiful game of Gaelic football that fans of it have come to know and love. I suppose the thing that you've got to remember as well is the Dublin fans are kind of a fickle bunch as well. They would be prone to telling their team if they're not happy about things from time to time. I mean, it's very, very harsh, particularly when you consider that the players playing out the field are your teachers, your plumbers, you know, the guys that are giving up their time for free to entertain these people. But, I mean, it does pose a very serious question. Does win at all costs have a cost? And is that cost, in fact, the fans? And, you know, really we're moving towards, it's a very, very difficult situation for the GAA, because how do you go and tell a team, don't play the way that you know how to win? That's the thing. How do you go, look at, if you want to take a soccer comparison, for example, this is happening there as well. Jose Mourinho, of course, known as being a very defensive, very tactically minded manager. Even more recently at the Euros, Portugal won the competition and basically stunk up the joint. You know, they were it was very poor fare, very defensive, slow moving football. And Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, one of the best players in the world, perhaps the best player in the world right now at the moment, you know, was just slotted in as part of that team and kind of was shackled in that way and wasn't allowed to go and be Cristiano Ronaldo within that Portugal team. Similarly with Wales and Gareth Bale. You know, so this is something that's creeping into elite level sport. And you know, it's certainly not a new thing. But in Gaelic football, with that ethos on the amateur sport, should it yield something more exciting for these guys going out and playing with pride and passion? Maybe it should, but really it's a very, very difficult question to answer. Is Gaelic football killing itself? Well, I know that the games are getting increasingly more difficult to watch for a fan on the sidelines. You know, it's a difficult question, and one that the GAA, I'm sure, are scratching their heads over and will continue to do so for some time to come.
Yeah, and I'm watching and have been watching teams train recently, and they're at club level, and there are so many players, average players and young players coming through, and indeed players who have great talent who would hope on some occasion maybe to be championship winners or indeed to represent their county. Those players are all being coached to play defensively. It's press, 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 defend, 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 carry, carry, carry. I could see very little in terms of solo runs or high catching or long distance pointing or weaving your way through and laying the ball off and taking a 1-2 to stick it in the back of the net. You know, the Mickey Linden type football of 15, 20 years ago seems to have totally disappeared.
Yeah, man, of course, Frank, myself and yourself are all too familiar with Mr. Linden, and you're absolutely right. You're talking about, you know, players, you know, and good players and average players. I mean, I'd be the first to put my hand up and say I was a distinctly average player, verging on just a tiny bit rubbish, if I'm totally honest, when I was playing. But under these coaching systems, a player who, sort of like myself, maybe wouldn't have had that flair and is being coached to play the game in the same way as perhaps somebody like a Benny Coulter, so someone who would be perhaps of my sort of average playing ability during my playing days, you know, all of a sudden comes an awful lot closer to that flair player, which is good for me, but it's not good for the spectacle of the game. You know, it's and like I said, it's a very, very difficult one to sort of combat, because really and truly, how do you tell a team not to play defensively? How do you tell a team not to play the way that they know that they can win? I think really what it's going to have to be, what the only real way that this can change is if either A, if someone comes up with a Barcelona system, for example, of that lovely attacking football that is so good that it nullifies the defensive strategy, or are we going to have to look at that dreaded thing, and I know I really don't like to see this coming, rule changes by the GAA in order to encourage those high passes, maybe limit that high feeling, maybe limit the number of hand passes in sequence to encourage kick passing. Maybe that's the route we go down. But certainly, in terms of a spectacle, it does suffer, and it's a difficult one because the teams that adopt the strategy seem to do pretty well.
Totally, because you can win All Ireland's doing it, and that's the other side of the coin. Is there a possibility, Colm, that young lads, and I know it's young girls as well, but we're probably putting the emphasis at the moment on young men playing the football, on the Gaelic football, might they want to go to rugby in the near future if it becomes more and more like a game of rugby? And of course, rugby's a very rewarding game in so many fields.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose ideally I'm a big fan of, I haven't played Gaelic football and then rugby in my later years. Distinctly average, Frank. I'm not going to dress it up as anything that it's not. But, you know, I think there is a great crossover between the two sports. And in fact, at the sort of the grassroots level, there's no reason why young GAA athletes couldn't play both, because, of course, Gaelic football being primarily a summer game and the rugby coming through in the autumn and the winter. However, are players going to go to rugby because Gaelic football doesn't look good? Perhaps. I certainly know that for a player, if, as I say, you know, you're an average player and you're being coached in such a way that your skill level can be overtaken by your fitness level, then maybe it's more fun for the players to play. But certainly watching it, I think you're maybe getting a little bit more spectacle just at the moment with rugby than you are with Gaelic football. Could it be a swinging factor? Who knows, Frank? Time will tell. But one thing's for sure, Gaelic football is certainly not the spectacle that it was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. Colm, thank you very much indeed, Colm McAlinden. I'm noticing there a man from Fermanagh saying, Frank, are you seriously suggesting that Colm McAlinden knows more about Gaelic football than you, a man with an All-Ireland club medal?
I can't argue with that, Frank.
I love that. Back in the day. Right, it's 24 minutes to 11. This is the Frank Mitchell.